Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hey, you guys, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. We are doing something a little bit different this week. Something brand new, gonna try it, gonna see what you think. We're calling it Ren Rants, basically pulling in an idea, a news story, something that kind of sparks some interest and maybe some cool conversation, and chat about it. And I happen to be talking to Carrie Becken, who you might recall from episode 96. She is a coach working with people to help them go through core energy shifts, and she's actually going to tell you a little bit more about that in better detail as we get started. Trying something new, trying something different. We recorded a couple of them, so you will hear from Carrie again in the future. So we will be curious to hear what you think. Would love your feedback via Facebook, or you can always comment on the wellnessrenpodcast.com page underneath the show notes. Before we dive in, just a reminder that you, of course, can check out the Wellness Renaissance Facebook page to find the episodes as they're released. And of course, on the wellnessrenpodcast.com webpage, you will find all the episodes there, all the way back to number one. So check them out, see what excites you. We'd love to have you as part of the Wellness Renaissance Patreon supporters community. Thank you so much for those of you who have supported me and my work. And I am so appreciative of that. We have a new Patreon supporter this week, Heather from Duluth. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so excited to have you on board. Also, for those of you who are on Patreon, if you have listened to the last two episodes with Danielle Trollo, the comedian from here in Duluth, you will find the full extended interview on Patreon for your listening pleasure. It is both weeks with some additional pieces. And if you've already listened, there will be guides to direct you right to the places that are new that you haven't heard yet. And if you are a little bit behind and you haven't had a chance to listen to the last episodes, well, this is perfect. This is a great opportunity because you can join Patreon for as little as a buck a month, and you can walk right into that interview and hear the whole thing. So sometimes procrastination pays off. Go check it out. It's a great interview. And if you're not familiar with Danielle Trollo, she is a great, fun, thought-provoking comedian here in Duluth, Minnesota, and she is transgender, which comes through her comedy quite a bit, which is fun and fantastic. And the episode has a lot of jokes, a lot of laughs, a lot of serious stuff in it as well. So it's a good time. Check out the full version on Patreon. It's definitely worth it. Alrighty, on that note, oh dear. Guys, I'm recording this quite late at night, and I think I had tea too late in the day, and it is still in high gear. This does not bode well for sleeping. Good for work, not for sleeping. Let's head on into our first Ren Rant. Take it away. Carrie, you are with me on my main voyage journey of Ren Rants. Thank you for coming along.
Hey, you're welcome. I thought this was an awesome idea, and I'm super excited to see how this is all going to unfold.
So am I. It's always a journey. If you're listening and Carrie sounds familiar, Carrie Becken was on episode 96, and she is, well, tell us about yourself just in a very brief way. You are a coach, but tell us about your coaching specifically.
Yeah. So, well, thanks, Judy. Yeah, I am a transitions life coach, certified just earlier this year, and in the process of sort of getting that practice off the ground. But I also consider myself to be like a creative entrepreneur, working on, content online and a speaker. But I love working with folks who are just navigating challenging life transitions, especially in the queer and trans community, and anybody who's overcoming religious trauma.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's, I think it'll keep me busy once we get rolling.
Yes, I don't doubt it. All right. Well, so
I was listening to a podcast, and this woman, Deb Hauser, who is the president of Advocates for Youth, her advice was this, and I thought it was great, actually, is, you know, kids, as parents, I know parents want themselves to be the person that their kid comes to for any issues or problems or questions about life, whatever. But the reality is, that's not so easy. And one of the things she makes the statement of is kids don't want to disappoint their parents. And I would also say that there's that. There's also fear of getting in trouble, blah, blah, blah. Her advice is to have people, an adult, a few adults, that you and your kid can agree on that are your, that the agreement is made that if the kid comes to them for questions, like they're the safe person, the kid can come to them for questions and it doesn't go back to the parents. So if the kid is in trouble or they want to, you know, maybe it's about dating, maybe it's about sexuality, that they have somebody that they can talk to that isn't going to basically snitch them out to their parents. What do you think of that?
So I've got a couple of competing feelings, and you know, one thing that sort of jumps up for me, and that, you know, comes from sort of the social service background and the whole arena of mandated reporting.
Right.
And so it, in a lot of ways, it feels like it's almost in that same sphere where, you know, so if I'm working with a young person, and who happens to be under 18, you know, if they come to me, and even a young adult who might be a vulnerable adult, if they come and they start sharing something, right, and you can tell that it's going into this area where red flags are starting to go off, you know, a lot of times because of the mandated reporting, you know, you tend to, I want to give them sort of that heads up, like, hey, I'm really glad that you feel safe telling me this. And I think it's really important that we talk about this because I want you to be safe. But if you share certain things with me that, you know, are safety to you or others, then, you know, we're getting into this area where I have to tell someone, you know, whether that in a social service realm is, you know, official like social county person,
right,
or like in this context. So then taking it into this context where it's, you're not dealing with any social services and you're dealing with parents and other people in your life who you feel you trust, mm-hmm, to be a mentor and somebody safe for your child. I'm trying to put myself in the parent shoes, and would I be able to like completely have that 100% trust? And, you know, but what if it goes into some of these areas where my kid is talking about suicide with somebody, or my kid is talking about using or being, you know, with some of these areas where you're getting into some very hardcore, serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. You know, it would have to be a very special person that I had a very good relationship with, you know, to not be at least in the loop, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
And I would love to hear her broader conversation about this, of just like where that goes. Right. But I mean, I can imagine that some of those things are, you know, some of the examples were just dating advice, or, you know, or the, not even advice, but I am going to potentially go meet this person that I am wanting to date, but maybe you don't feel good about telling your parents for some reason, or I'm trying to come up with good scenarios because I can, there's a ton of them from, you know, my childhood probably. Not that I was doing anything wrong, but I didn't feel always safe talking to my parents. Mm-hmm. So it's having that person that you can talk to if you want to check your, you know, she was kind of using it as, you don't want to disappoint your parents. You're trying to check your gut. You want to talk to somebody else, but
it's challenging because it requires the adults in the scenario to be very adult. And, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, that seems to be very rare in my opinion these,
yeah,
days. You know, so I could see where, like, if I had a child and I had a set of friends or people, in our lives that I felt very comfortable. I felt very confident and that they were a safe person. I could see having a dialogue with them and my kid all together where we come up with and putting the system in place. But there probably would be a framework mm-hmm. of with some boundaries of where if what you're dealing with talking to the child, if what you end up talking about or dealing with falls in the realm of XYZ, mm-hmm. then they're going to bring me in the loop just so that they know that. I don't know. You know, it's almost like that mandated report feel.
Right. And that, but I, and here's where I think of that is mm-hmm. that if I was the kid, depending mm-hmm. on the situation, if I had concerns about talking to my parents and I really needed a safe place to talk to, say, let's say it's about suicide or let's say mm-hmm. it's about, and again, I think the interesting thing that she said too was that your values can all match. So would my parents have ever chose somebody with values that I have? I don't know. Mm-hmm. That person then becomes a not safe person. Like if you know, and it's also, I'm sure, depending on the relationship, like the designated person's response isn't, I'm going to call your parents, but talking through it, how do we get you help? How do we handle this? And yes, you need to maybe loop the parents in, but you talk to the kid about that. And maybe you don't do it right away. You right. try to solve it to help the kid and understanding their concerns with their parent. Right. So, mm-hmm. because that whole thing could go really bad. And right. I could see, like you say, there's a lot of, it's dependent on really adult parenting. So, the podcast I was listening to, the fun thing about it that I thought was interesting, she mentioned this, and the podcast host, Dan Savage, his mom did this. He was like, this is what my mom did. And he's in his 50s. Mm-hmm. And so his mom did this back when he was in his teens. And she designated some aunts that they didn't see all the time. So that as a kid, if you had something uncomfortable to go talk to them about, you didn't have to face them necessarily at dinner the next week. Right. So, which I think I really like, I love that idea, but I don't think it's going to work out for everybody because I do... Here's how I could see this of going in my house is my mom would, well, my mother would never do this. This would not be something my mom would have ever done. And I wouldn't have trusted if she would have had a designated person that their job wasn't really to run back to my mom. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would have been possible in my family. So because it does take people that trust, that statement of it doesn't come back to your parent is the key. And if you're manipulating your kid with this agreement that you're not following through with, right. Obviously you're breaking massive trust. And I think parents might see that mm-hmm. as doing the best thing for their kid, but not realizing how much damage they could cause. So you're right. It takes adults in the room to be able to do that.
Yeah, it would take a lot of conversation, and it requires the parent, it requires the safe person, and it requires the child to all be on the same page of right. what those expectations are.
Right.
And so, yeah, because I mean, when you think about it, if some major issue came up, and like put yourself either as the parent or the safe person. So, mm-hmm. and I'm just even thinking like, you know, I have nibblings, right? I have three nephews and a niece. And mm-hmm. as they get older, you know, if one of them comes to me and shares something with me, you know, depending on what it is, but if it's something like super serious and I don't, and even though I've got all this like social work coaching background and whatever, if it's something, we'll just kind of stay with like suicide or something, just to sort of make the big point. Mm-hmm. And I kept that from my brothers and mm-hmm. his partner, you know, their partners, and my nephew or niece actually did something.
Right.
I mean, that would be horrible. I just can't even imagine, right? And right. then if I'm the parent and I have a safe person, but yet, do you know what I mean? So if something like that were to happen, right. I would be like, if something happened to my kid and they had been talking to someone who I trusted and they did not loop me in on something that serious, there would be huge ramifications, I think, going moving forward. And so that's why I think if you're the ideal sounds amazing. And if you can get a group of people on the same page, and have that conversation and set up so everybody has what the expectations are, I think it could be a huge positive for everybody.
Right. And I mean, and I'm thinking, you know, stepping back to things like the kid wants to try weed for the first time and they don't feel good about talking to their parents. So they talk to their, you know, aunt or whatever who can kind of give them the, here's what to watch out for. Here's who you don't get it from. Here's how you communicate. Call me if you need me. And I think that's part of what it is too. You've drank too much and you can call this person and it doesn't have to go to your parents. You know, maybe if it's a problem, it does, but you feel safe knowing that if you call them to get out of a situation that you're not going to be in trouble for it. You know, I mean, I think about that. Like I never felt great calling. I never really drank as a kid. So I wasn't in that type of situation, but my dad said to me one time, this is so funny because I actually felt more unsafe with some of the people that I babysat for and some that they were like, they drove me home drunk. And I didn't feel comfortable calling because I didn't want to narc them out, right? So I took my life in my hands by getting in their car, I guess. But I didn't feel comfortable calling my parents, you know, my dad and saying, hey, I need a ride. Mm-hmm. But my dad one time, we were going to a party, a New Year's party. And my dad, it was like kind of really sweet that he, you know, this is like the first time in my life my dad had said, and I believe I was actually over 18 at the time, where he's like, you know, if there's alcohol and you guys have too much to drink and you need to, you know, just call, it's fine. And like the house I was going to had the friend's house, no alcohol. Like that was not a thing we were going to be doing. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but we don't, there's no alcohol. I know. And I'm like, where was this like 5 years ago? Like not even that I was drinking, but that I didn't feel safe because I didn't want them to go, oh, your friends are doing bad things. You can't hang out with them anymore. So I think that's more of the protection realm that I think that we're speaking in is, you know, you want to go do something and it's kind of iffy, but you can do it safely. And if you had somebody to ask, you wouldn't go run out on your own to do it. You would go do it with a smarter mindset. You would have somebody to say, think of these five things to keep yourself safe. You know, the kid still does what they're going to do maybe because you can't control everybody, but they get to make the best decision possible. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah. No, totally. And I totally agree. I was just going off the premise of when you started, how you prefaced it as like, they could tell them anything and it would never go back to the parents. And so that's where I'm like, okay, when I hear that, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Yep. I need to sort of step it
no,
back.
No, and I agree. I agree with you. I'd be curious to know if you talk to this woman. I didn't go massively researching to see if she has any guidelines for this of, you know, when does it become a thing? But again,
and I think that's going to be, again, it's going to come down to everybody's family structure. Cause just, I'm just even thinking in my own, like you mentioned the weed example, right? So I'm imagining who I was 4 years ago and who I am today. And I've had a huge shift in my worldview and everything else. And so like 4 years ago, thinking about if I had a kid who wanted to go and smoke weed for the first time, that's probably something I would have wanted to be in the loop about. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, I'd be totally okay if my kid went and talked to a safe person about that and got some advice about it and even experimented. And I, you know, I would be okay, like maybe not knowing about that. And that's a huge shift. And so I think that, you know, every family unit is going to be a little different on what they consider to be the major issues. And so that's why I think having, you know, talking about this as a concept, being able to really have that conversation and dial down what the expectations are.
Right. And the tricky thing is having some of those conversations might, I could see that almost messing the whole thing up. Like, not that I'm saying that your point is wrong, but I'm saying, you know, if you all of a sudden have, if you have a strict situation and it's like, well, if it's these 17 things, which just basically says, don't tell me about them and don't tell your safe person about them. So now you're off in the weeds, but you might have a better understanding of what you can't talk to anybody in your family about, you know? So you're right. It is about adult and it's about family structure. Yeah. So huge. And
my guess is Judy, that in those situations where you've got that much, those many things, this is not going to be a situation that works. Like the parents right. aren't going, they're already going to be not open to this idea.
Right. Or they're going to fear it and control it.
Exactly. So this wouldn't work for them.
Yeah.
So then it just becomes this ideal idea that really their kid doesn't have access to, and the kid right. is going to have to find their own safe person
right.
without the parents knowing who that person is. Because they're too controlling.
Yeah. Isn't it frustrating that all good parenting advice, just like I guess anything else, can be used for bad? You know, I mean, but it is. So, for the mature parents out there, this is great advice.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know what, if you're listening to this conversation and you're a parent and you're feeling yourself sort of go back and forth and feeling some resistance and like that again, there's some awareness stuff happening. And even just kind of, I mean, we all have room to grow. And just even talking about like your dad and how like you, like, where were you 5 years ago? That's probably an indication of just even his own personal journey of mm-hmm. being a parent, you know? And so, you know, we all have, you know, we all mature and we all grow. Hopefully,
right.
you know, that's if we're not growing, we're dying. And so hopefully we're all growing to some extent. And so if you're hearing this and as a parent and you're having that tension and that resistance, and that maybe is something to explore a little bit more, like, why are you so resistant? Where's that tension coming from?
Right.
What could it mean if you were to explore that? What, you know, what could that possibly mean for even a better, deeper relationship with your kid moving forward as they grow up into their right. teenage years?
And what a cool thing if your parent came to you. And again, I think the parameters are interesting, but I think you can get so mucked in that it can be like, it can take the trust out of the situation. But to have your parent come to you and say, hey, I know that there are times when you're going to want to talk to somebody about something and I am not the go-to person. Like, you're not going to feel great going to me. Mm-hmm. So I want you to know that you can talk to this person, this person, this person, and they're not going to give me a call and let me know that you smoked weed or that you might have got, you know, that's not the thing. They're a family member. They love you. They care about you. They want to see the best for you. They also know how it is, you know, I mean, they're a little disconnected, like having somebody a little disconnected where your parent is like, I mean, I think of how many parents say, well, I don't want my kids to do the things that I did. So they're locked in their house until they're 25, right. which, you know, means no growth. It means no experiment. I mean, well, how did we figure ourselves out? Mm-hmm. I think I would have done much better by being much more of a screwball and making more mistakes instead of being so cautious mm-hmm. to live on the straight and narrow and be the good kid. Because that is sometimes where you learn. That's not to mean you have to damage yourself. And I mean, I understand that's a fine line too from a parental perspective. But what a cool thing to have your parents say to you, that trust.
Yeah. And I think in the best scenario that it would work in would be just having, it would just be a handful of like just some of those 1, 2, 3 very key, very serious, this is what I'm going to be read in. Mm-hmm. But everything else, I'm trusting this other person to be your confidant
right.
in a safe space. And just keeping it very limited to just those very couple things that you would want to be read in on.
Yeah. Yeah. And that you're going to be warned about it too, that there's no surprises. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to tell the parent something without you knowing that that's going right. to happen.
Yep. Yeah. And that's almost like for those of you who are listening, who might be a safe person, right?
Right.
So that's sort of even some of that mandated reporter mentality where if a child does come, if you are in that role and somebody, your friend's child comes to you and starts to share something, to remind them again that you are very proud of them and happy that they feel safe telling you about this, but we are entering into one of those areas where, you know, I'm not going to just like grab the phone right after we're done having this conversation, but we are going to have a conversation with your mom or your parents, you know, and I can be there with you when you do that. Or if you want me to tell them about it, I can do that. But we're going to have to read them in because this is getting into one of those areas that's much more serious, you know? And so having that conversation with the kid right at the time so that they understand what's happening and they don't feel betrayed.
Exactly.
As soon as the conversation's over, they've already spilled everything. And then you're like, oh, by the way, now I'm going to have to call your mom, you know, kind of.
Yes.
You know, so you bring them into the process as soon as you get a sense, this is one of those areas that we're going into, bring them in so they are partnering with you in that conversation, aware of what is going to be happening if we continue to have this dialogue.
Right. Again, this all depends on the ability of the parents to handle situations that you don't know, right? Yep. So, because there are some situations where looping the parents in would be the absolute best thing. And then there are some situations where it'd be like, oh my God, if you loop my parents in, I'm out of here. You know, that's the thing I can't handle. That's why I'm talking to you. How do we do this? Mm-hmm. And so it's tough.
Right. And so I guess the thought that comes to mind would be, if they start to open up sort of that conversation where you can tell, and they haven't shared everything with you, but you can tell that this is getting into that area, that you kind of stop them and remind them of this agreement that you all have.
Right.
And then be like, you know, if you would like to talk to somebody in complete confidence, why don't I help connect you with... Do you know what I mean? So then it's sort of, you take yourself out of that loop before you are totally, you know, involved in everything. Yeah. It gets sticky, you know, it gets really, really, really sticky when you get into some of those very, you know, more serious issues.
Right. Yeah. Wow. See, having kids is freaking hard.
I'll stick to just being cool, Auntie Carrie.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, it is. I mean, I don't know. It would be fun to, I would love to weigh on in this conversation with some parents, because I know I have people that I know, I think, who would think this would be an amazing idea and who probably maybe even already have it or feel like their kids already have it in place.
Right.
You know, I mean, I have known some parents who are like, oh yeah, I know this person, my kid talked to that person. Like, I've never heard of it as a formal agreement, but I have heard of it as the parent acknowledging that the kid talks to somebody else and that they don't necessarily know and they're okay with that.
Yeah.
Which I think, I always thought that was like super cool and mature. And then I know people who, or just couldn't handle it. They could not handle somebody else knowing something about their kid that they didn't know.
Yeah. And that says more about them than anything else.
Right. So, right. And I get that it would be hard, but it would be hard. Yeah. But having kids is hard. Raising good people is hard. Raising people who can function in the world and be good, intelligent people and make good decisions for themselves is hard.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So parents, use the comment section.
That's right. Yeah. No, I'm fascinated to hear what people might think, because I can understand all angles, but I think if my parents would have set something up like that, I would have saw it as suspect, and I don't know if I'd have trusted it. But I love the idea. I love the idea of knowing. I think kids need that. I mean, if you are the safe person, if you don't have the formal agreement, can you act in that agreement of not telling the parent things to make the kid look? Because I've seen that happen too, where a kid gets the, you know, chutzpah up to ask somebody, they've bared their soul, and then that person, not even fully understanding what they're doing, just ends up embarrassing the crap out of the kid. You know, oh my God, they came and asked me this because it was a 16-year-old mind that needed help, and not the 45-year-old mind who's got all that stuff worked out, but thought it was funny to look at what they're asking me. Isn't that cute? All right. Well, yay. I don't know if we were helpful in parenting advice, but I think it's thought provoking information. And like everything else, you know, when you think about stuff, sometimes it gets hard, but sometimes you have to think about stuff and it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. And there's always room to grow, you know. There's probably some things I said that could use some, you know,
clarification
or redirection. So that's why, you know, if you got comments, enlighten us. Sure.
Yeah. Where am I going wrong in my thinking?
Yeah, we want to learn. We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to be better.
Yeah, exactly. It's just in a general life sense. It's like, how do you handle these things? Mm-hmm. But confident, having a confidant is so beautiful and important. And as a kid, it's so, your kid's going to be such a better person if they can make mistakes in a educated way rather than I just went out and did it because I had no idea and I didn't know how to get answers. or ideas or to be safer or whatever the case might be, you know. My school officer, my school police officer said one thing that always stuck with me, as he said a lot of things, but this for some reason always stuck with me. He always said, if you're going to do drugs, do good drugs. Well, but it's a really valid point, because his point was, if you're doing drugs from a place you don't know, you don't know what's in there, and it can screw you up so bad. So if you're going to do drugs, do good quality drugs. And what that stuck in my mind was just, I thought it was a very good thing to say, because it created some boundaries around it. Like, not that I ever did, because again, I didn't do anything.
Instead of somebody just telling you don't do drugs, all of a sudden it opened up this box where now you have the power and the control and the autonomy in yourself to make that choice to not do drugs, or to do them in a very intentional, responsible, conscious way.
Right. Exactly. Like, what does it mean to do good drugs? Well, okay, I'm curious about trying that, but I don't know that person. So, okay, this is a good time for me to say no, rather than I really want to do that, so I'm just going to do it. And I think, I don't know, I always thought that was just a really good piece of advice, because the education that came along with it was how much you can get completely screwed up by the other thing that's in the drug, much less harmful than the thing that was with it that completely messed you up.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and just looking at, you know, younger kids, and we still have, a lot of us still have that same reaction of somebody tells you no, like an absolute no, the, you know, knee jerk response is, well, F that. I'm going to do it, right? Because you want to assert your own autonomy. And so, you know, we still, even as adults, have that, I think.
Oh God, yes.
Rear its head every once in a while when we feel a little bit sort of backed into a corner and somebody tries to tell us we don't have a choice in something.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this was a good topic, Judy, to bring, because I was just thinking about my nibblings, and you know, they're coming up the ranks. You know, the oldest will be 11, and so they're all kind of coming right up into the middle school and high school. So I could see where these scenarios could very well unfold, even in my own life in the future, if they come to me with questions or thoughts about things. You know,
so it's always honored, good to think about. It is, and it's an honored position, I think, to be the person that the kids trust to tell something to. I really do. Yeah, take your trusted advisor position seriously. Awesome. So, Carrie, just go ahead and share where people can find you.
Yeah, if people want to just kind of get to know me a little better, you know, who I am and how I roll, I'd love to have you just check out. I've got my website. It's just my name, carriebecken.com. So K-A-R-I-B-E-C-K-E-N.com. And right now I'm in the process of kind of building out a full website, but you can definitely get on my email list. And, you know, I send out a weekly email where, you know, share some insights and inspiration and tips and tools and just some, you know, cool conversation things. And I'd love to have you there. I also have a Facebook page, Carrie Becken Coaching on Facebook. Would love to have you like the page and, you know, check it out. That'd be great.
All right. Thanks for listening. I hope you had a good time, and may you continue to find the pieces that fit with grace and ease into your health and wellness puzzle. And if you're struggling, just remember that sometimes reality is that,
being human is hard. So.